Hey guys, Kirk Short here with Real Conversations with me, Kirk Short. I'm with Keller Williams Signature Partners, and today I've got a guest with me, which is Michael Gonzalez with MTG Family Mortgage. And our topic of the day today is lending and everything that sort of wraps around that. And my goal today is to talk a little bit about Mike and his company, where he came from and all that. The mortgage industry, what's going on with rates, all the stuff that we're seeing on the national news and what we feel that impact is. Then we're going to get in talking a little bit about first-time home buyers and programs available to them, how to deal with credit issues, the other types of loans. If I'm not a first-time home buyer, am I buying FHA, VA, conventional, the other things that are out there. And then finally, reverse mortgages, which is a topic that a lot of people don't know about. That helps seniors get into houses more affordably. And does that sound like a good idea, Mike?
Sounds like a great show.
All right. So again, guys, this is Michael Gonzalez. And tell me about you. I've known you for a long time. For those of you that don't know, he's actually one of the sponsors for our Real Conversations with Kirk. I've worked with Mike now for several years.
Yeah.
And we've actually been friends longer than we've been business partners from this relationship side of things. But tell me a little bit about the business. What got you in and sort of what's your company's makeup now?
Sure. Well, in 2000, I was working for a bank. I worked for a bank here in Wichita, actually a credit union from 2000 to 2003. And did that while I was going to college. Didn't know that this is what I'd be doing here in 2019. Joined a mortgage brokerage in 2003 and then actually started my own mortgage branch in 2004. And a couple of years ago, my wife, Tammy, came aboard. And the company that we're actually with, our parent company, is called Open Mortgage.
Right.
So Open Mortgage is a national company, and we have one specific branch here in Wichita. And last year, we rebranded it to MTG Family Mortgage, which stands for Michael Tammy Gonzalez Family Mortgage. So that's how we came up with the MTG. Plus, it's the abbreviation. A lot of people think it's the abbreviation of meeting, but it's the abbreviation of mortgage as
yes,
well.
Yes, it is. So. It was appropriate. It meant you guys were meant to do this.
Right. I had somebody one time, they thought it was my initials, and they said, if your name's MTG, you're meant to do it. And I said, well, my wife, so we were meant to do it as a couple, I guess.
So what is your middle name?
Elias.
Okay, yeah. It wasn't meant to be that.
No.
That's Meg.
That's Meg, yeah.
So you had a successful practice before, and then you have a very successful practice now. One of the good reasons that I like talking with Mike, and one of the good reasons that I actually refer a lot of friends to him and clients, is because not all lenders are created equal. And what we find a lot of times is you might have lenders that have good loan packages, if you will. It sounds good, but when it comes down to getting deals done, there's just difficulties along the way. And I've always told Mike this, and I'll say it again here. I've never had a deal go bad with Mike because of anything that happened on their end. And I don't have any other lender that I've ever dealt with that I can actually say that about. And it has everything to do with how you guys run and process things. And I didn't know if you want to take a moment and just sort of talk about that aspect. So somebody's going to sit there and get a loan, and which means they got to come into you. So what is that process? What should a person expect to do when they meet you?
Sure. I guess the initial phone call that we take, and we take it extremely serious from that phone call. It's somebody buying their biggest asset probably that they'll ever purchasing their whole life. So we have a questionnaire that we go through. It's a questionnaire that I developed years ago, and it's designed to figure out potential problems along the way from the very, very get-go, from the moment we talk to them from day one. So that way, if we do see potential problems, we can stop it right there and say, okay, here's how we're going to fix it. Yeah. And yes, we can pre-qualify you, but we also need to do this in order for you to make sure that when you do find your home and you're under contract, the whole loan goes smooth.
Yeah.
So it takes a little bit of time. You know, Tammy, I've taught Tammy a little bit about the we call it a BIS, Bar Information Sheet,
yeah.
Biz. And so when somebody calls in, it's just supposed to help us think about potential problems along the way. We're actually not a lender that will ask for all their pay stubs and W-2s and tax returns right away. I actually feel by talking to somebody, I can figure out what we need to do in order to close the loan. Okay. Now, in some cases, we do have to, if somebody's self-employed, we may have to get their tax returns and different things like that. But we try to keep the initial part from the customer side as little as possible. But it's going to be our job to do as much research to make sure that when we say we stamp that approval on the loan,
right,
that it is going to be a good prequal, because we don't want to waste your time or their time, right, as well. We don't want you out showing 100 different houses and then find out that I didn't do my job and they can't qualify for a loan.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, one thing I've learned from you and dealing with our clients, it's just as important too. You know, I know when you have stuff that you need, you know, the whole way that you get things to really go is communications. And I know you guys are phenomenal about how you communicate back and forth with the client, as well as us as the agents, because, you know, it's really a group effort. It's a team that sits there and works on things. But then there's also the having the buyer that's coming in, buying into the fact that you're looking out for them.
Yep.
And that when we say we need things, we need it for a reason. Sometimes you feel like you're, you know, they want a vial of blood and they want, you know, rights to your firstborn child.
Right.
And sometimes that is the case, right? I mean, it's, we need this stuff because you gotta, to put together maybe a more troubled package, you gotta have a lot more information and you need it in a timely manner. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely would agree. And in fact, we explained to everyone at the very beginning, cause I know I've done loans before and I've been annoyed by people asking me for stuff. I mean, it's a tedious process sometimes. So I usually just explain to people that we're all on the same team. My goal is to get you into the home and get you in there as quick as possible and with as little hassle as possible. But sometimes I'm going to call you and I'm going to bug you. And I apologize up front. I say, hey, sorry, I'm bugging you. But I would rather you be just a little bit frustrated with me because I've called you and asked you for a couple things than to get to closing and have your truck packed up, your house packed up, and we can't close because we didn't have something on time.
Right.
That frustration is going to be, you're going to be angry. I mean, you're going to be up here frustrated.
Right.
As opposed to maybe just a little bit like, okay, Mike called me again and asked me for another item.
Right.
So I just explained to people that up front that it's more important that we get these things as quickly as possible so that you're not in that situation to where you're sitting there with a moving truck and nowhere to take your stuff.
Yeah. So when people are going out there and, you know, the average person doesn't know the difference between local lender, online lender. You know, I've had good conversations with you in the past about my feelings about different companies,
sure,
at different times. You know, I hope everybody that's listening, there's serious value in working with a local lender. Both because working with local lender, I can call Mike up in this case and how are we doing on this file? And Mike's calling me proactively saying, here's where we're at in a file. And 9 times out of 10, that doesn't happen when you don't deal with local people.
Right.
And I say that for all the people that are listening to these different online lenders and stuff like that that are out there. So it's really, really good to sit there and go down the path and find a good local lender like Mike. Rates. That becomes a whole nother thing, right? People are out there shopping rates. And I'll start this with sitting there saying that a lot of times people just shop based upon a percentage and not looking at the big picture.
Right.
And right now that's ever so important. We're hearing all this stuff and we've got all this national news going out about, you know, rates are going to be jumping up and doing this and doing that. So before you and me talk about what the industry is doing, talk to me about what people should do if they're going to actually shop companies,
sure,
to make sure that they're comparing apples to apples.
So the big thing is, and I see this all the time, especially with online lenders and really anybody that just posts their rates online, is there's a fee called a discount point fee.
Yeah.
So there's, and sometimes I miss it too. They put it in the real small margins. You can't see it very, very big, but you may post your lowest interest rate possible. But then of course there may be a discount point fee associated with that as well. So sometimes you see these just extremely low interest rates.
So what's a discount point fee for those that don't know?
So a discount point fee is basically a lender charging you a fee to get a lower rate. Typically, it's done in a percentage, a half a point, and it's based off the purchase price. So if you have a $100,000 home, a half a point, you have a $500 discount point fee if it's a half a point.
That's a fee to the buyer.
It's a fee to the buyer.
Okay.
If it's 1%, then that would be a $1,000 fee to the buyer. So basically what that's doing is buying down the interest rate. So that's why they call it a discount point fee. You can also go the other way too. You could, if somebody maybe wasn't as monthly payment, worried about their monthly payment as much as their total out-of-pocket expense, mm-hmm. you could go the other way. You could actually get a little higher interest rate and we would do a lender credit. Mm-hmm. But most people, when they're looking at stuff, they're looking at interest rates. So what most lenders will do is post their absolute lowest rate. Sometimes there's discount points fees to it. Sometimes there's not.
So it's lower rates, but higher fees.
But higher fees. Typically, okay. That's what most people will right. post. Or they'll post some sort of ARM. Or every lender does this. If we were posting our rates, we would do this as well. We would take 20% down and 740 or 760 credit score.
Yep.
And that's the rate we would post.
Yeah.
So you see that rate, and then you call in and you have a 650 credit score and you're wondering, and you're only putting 3.5% down. You're wondering why am I getting a higher interest rate than what I've seen all over the place? It's because most interest rates are based off of risk. Okay. The less money that you put down, the lower your credit score is, that's going to be a higher risk loan. So you're going to have a higher interest rate.
So the moral of the story is, not all rates are created equal.
Correct.
And that if you are going to shop rates, you want to go get a fee sheet from the lender.
Correct.
That lines out all the costs associated with that particular loan and breaks down that particular rate. That way you use that to compare with the other lender.
That is correct. Yeah. Just the easiest way to do it is ask for a cost estimate, a loan estimate, whatever mm-hmm. the lender calls it.
Yep.
Look at it. Another thing people don't think about either is rates do fluctuate each day.
Yeah.
So one lender may give you a cost estimate and have one rate, and then the whole industry rates go up. Then you shop the next lender because you waited a week or 2 weeks and you get a higher rate. Well, at that point, you probably need to go back to your initial person that you shopped and ask them, hey, did what's your rates change?
Rate?
Right. What's the rate? What's the current rate? So I always tell people, if you're looking at a cost estimate from one lender and it has different days on it. Yeah. You're not comparing apples to apples. You need to compare apples to apples by making sure they're on the same date.
I understand. So let's talk about the mortgage industry and what's going on with rates. You know, we're talking about fluctuating and, you know, you listen to national news and we have seen a regular trend of interest rates going up because they were unusually low for quite a long time because of the mortgage crisis that we went through. Well, now we've got a better economy and such. And we're seeing that uptick. So tell me a little bit, first of all, about how rates are figured.
Okay.
Because I know there is a difference from what we hear. They talk about the Fed rate and how that correlates to a mortgage rate.
Yeah.
And what your take on things are.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I'm going to first start by just kind of telling what I tell some of my buyers.
Yeah.
Because we are in a little higher interest rate market right now than what we have been. You talked about the credit crisis. We went through 2008 to 2012 and coming out of that, there was times, and there was times up until a few years ago that you could get a 30-year mortgage for 3% or 3.25%, somewhere in the low threes, maybe in the high twos.
Yeah.
And a lot of buyers that bought during that time, or a lot of people that knew someone that bought during that time, they're expecting to call a lender up and, oh, well, I thought rates were 3.25% or 3.5%. They're not there and they probably aren't going back there. Mm-hmm. But what I do like to point out to people is buying right now, today, you can still buy at historically low levels.
Correct.
And over the last 47 years, the average interest rate was 8.35. So if we go back for the last 47 years, the average interest rate would be 8.375. And so I tell my buyers, if you were to play a game of darts, interest rates in the 80s were 18%. And we were playing interest rate darts. And you took a dart and you just threw it at a board. And you didn't hit the 3%, but you hit 4.25%. You'd probably be pretty happy that you didn't hit 18%.
Right.
So right now is a great time to buy. Interest rates to me are still historically low. 4.25%, 4.5% interest rates. they're low. You're still getting an interest rate 4 points lower than what the 47-year average is. So we are still in a good time to buy. Now, with that said, where I think rates are going to go, you talked about, we did hit a 7-year high earlier this year. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we hit a 7-year interest rate high. Rates were a little over 5%, somewhere around there. And that was because of what everything is priced in advance. Mm-hmm. The Fed was expected to raise interest rates probably 2, maybe 3, maybe 4 times in 2019.
Right.
The Fed has come back and they've basically said that they're going to stay put probably for the short term. So we're now expecting that we're not going to see a lot of interest rate hikes this year with the Fed.
Okay.
But not only that, the Fed was earlier, a few years ago, they were buying a lot of bonds.
Yep.
And they started easing off that as well. Well, now the Fed is coming back. They've stopped. They were slowed down on their bond buying, but they're making, I guess, suggestions that this year they're going to start buying bonds again.
Okay.
So that's where you saw the dip. We saw the increase in rates because they were pricing in the Fed increases. And then we saw it dip because they started seeing, okay, the Fed isn't going to increase the interest rate as we thought. And they possibly are going to start buying bonds again. So that's why we're seeing the interest rates go back.
So the more the Feds buy the bonds, the lower the rates tend to sit there and go.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
So if I were to predict this year, and again, I don't have a crystal ball. If I had a crystal ball, me, you, and everybody in this room, and maybe some of the guests listening here, we'd be sitting on a beach somewhere that I own because I would. Yeah, right. So I don't have a crystal ball, but if I were to guess, I would think that we'll probably see rates stabilize about where they are now and slightly increase unless something crazy happens in our market. We'll probably see a little bit of an increase the rest of the year, but I don't think it's going to be anything major.
But again, the moral of this story is it's great rates, no matter how you sit there and look at it. And so leverage it while it's here.
Correct. Yeah. Take advantage of it. Definitely.
Gotcha. So I guess the next issue, right? Because we're going to go talk about first time home buyers and all that. One thing we hear, whether it's first time home buyers or just regular people buying their second, third, fourth home, that type of stuff, is credit issues. So we went through the mortgage crisis. They totally tightened up the noose on lending. So it even seemed like people that didn't have credit issues, according to the mortgage companies, had credit issues. They've loosened a lot of that back up.
Yeah.
But people still deal with it, whether it's, you know, how do you handle collections, late pays, perceived credit problems when there maybe really isn't, or it's easy to overcome. What's your take on it? What's your recommendation to people that don't know what to do or where to go to figure out, can I buy, should I buy, how do I get out of this issue?
Good question. My advice is always start early.
Yeah.
Have someone, and don't go crazy with it, especially if you're not sure if you're going to be buying soon.
Yeah.
You probably don't want 10 lenders taking a look at something, but find somebody that you trust. Have them look at what you're doing. Most people, they make a buying decision, and that's when they decide to get pre-qualified. If you're thinking that, hey, in a year I'd like to own a home, probably, and you don't know if you're going to be able to buy a home, it'd probably be good to start talking to a lender. Have a lender take a look at your credit. Have them evaluate it. If you start early, the good news is you have a year to get to where you need to be. And if you're working with somebody that you can trust and that's somebody that's going to work with you, you can sit there and say, okay, let's put together a plan. If I wanted to buy a home in a year, what would I have to do?
Yeah.
And maybe you're ready already, but then you know you can ask your lender, what are things that I shouldn't be doing?
Yeah.
You know, do I need to pay down credit card debt? Most people don't realize that if you have a good example, if you have a credit card with a $1,000 balance on it.
Yep.
So your credit limit's $1,000 and you owe $990.
Yep.
You're not maximizing your credit score. So that would be a good time for the lender to sit there and say, we need to do two things. One, we need to make sure that you're not spending your money that you're using for your down payment, if that's what you're planning on doing.
Yep.
And two, we need to gradually start pulling down that credit score or that credit balance so that we can increase your credit. Typically, what you want to do is have somebody under 30% utilization. So that $1,000 credit balance, we want them under $300 to maximize their credit score.
But not zero.
But not zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
when, let's say they have some collections and stuff like that, that they need to get resolved. There's, you know, there's companies out there that do debt collection. There's companies that do debt modification, where they're talking with the lenders or the people that you have stuff with. Then there's companies that are out there that help you purely with your credit score, from the standpoint that they're actually just trying to go with the credit reporting agencies and take stuff off of it. What's your take on those types of companies?
Like anything, there's some good companies and bad companies. Mm-hmm. That part of the industry there's been more probably bad than good.
Okay.
But there's been clients that we've talked to that we've referred to different credit repair companies.
Okay. And
there are some nonprofits. There actually is one here in Wichita. I don't know if I can plug a company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Consumer Credit Counseling, okay, Services of,
yep,
Wichita.
Yeah.
They're a nonprofit company. They're probably not as aggressive as some of those others, but right, they will help somebody work on budgeting and help repair their credit.
Good.
The right way, which is important. They're,
yeah.
It's like any other industry. There's some good apples and bad apples. But I think anytime somebody's taking a serious interest in their credit is a good thing. I had somebody one time tell me, well, do you think, you know, manipulating somebody's credit is helping them purchase a house? And I said, well, a lot of times it's people just not knowing what to do to make their credit better. They want to make their credit better. It's not trying to trick the system or anything like that.
Yeah.
I always use the example, and I know these things have changed in school, but I went through high school, got undergrad, college during, got my master's, and not one time did anybody teach me anything about credit scoring. I was lucky enough to be working in the banking industry that I learned it myself,
right,
but no one teaches this stuff in schools. And I know it's changing a little bit, but it's still far from where it probably needs to be.
Right. So that goes into the first time home buyers. It's my first time that I want to go out and buy a house. I know as a realtor, you know, whether it's first time home buyer or existing home buyer, I'm like, talk to the lender.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go give a couple names out, give your name out.
Thank
and,
you.
And say, you know, go talk to Mike about buying a house. What, real quickly, what type of programs exist for a first time home buyer?
So there's right now there's a bunch out there. There's anything from 0% down to 3.5-3% down programs.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional has a really good 3% home ready program.
Okay.
Where you put 3% down, the interest rates are competitive with some of their other more higher down payment options.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, again, you're going to have a little higher interest rate than if you're putting 20% down. There's some local banks out there. I see this all the time that,
yep,
we don't offer, but they're good programs.
Mm-hmm.
They have grant money where they give you $500 or $5,000 or $3,000 towards, mm-hmm, your down payment and closing cost. Now, typically, and again, some, especially for some of those local banks, maybe they don't, but most of the down payment assistant programs that I've seen, and we have down payment, yep, assistant programs as well.
Right.
Most of the ones that I see, you are trading a higher interest rate for the money that you're going to receive towards your down payment.
Or having to be in the house maybe a little bit longer. Otherwise, you might have like a little bit of a payback relative to the grant before it's forgiven, that type of a deal.
Correct. Yeah, accurate? Usually there's a 3, maybe 5 year waiting period before you're totally free from that debt.
Okay. Millennials. There's a lot of millennials out here especially that have never owned a house. They're either renting with friends, living with parents, whatever the case. Why should they buy? I mean, why does this make sense to get a loan, get a house, that type of deal?
Well, there's a lot of good reasons. The first one's affordability.
Yeah.
Right now. Housing's affordable. And not only that, what, like we talked about, interest rates are extremely low.
Yeah.
They may still have thought, well, you know, my parents or my friend or my uncle,
yeah,
my aunt, whoever it is, they bought a house a few years ago, got that 3.25. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I should wait. We're probably not going back down that low again. So
yeah,
it's we're most likely we're going to slowly increase as opposed to go back down to levels of 3.25% and 3%. So in terms of money financing, rates are low. Great time to buy.
Yep.
You know, I always tell, when I was younger, I rented. I wish I would have bought earlier. I would have had more equity in my home. And that's not only that, when you're ready to buy your second home, if you're a millennial and you're looking to buy your first starter home, what's great about it is if you live there 10 years and you've paid off quite a bit of it, you're also going to see appreciation. So your house typically in the United States appreciates. So you'll gain equity. And then when you buy your next home, you'll have a larger down payment. You'll be one of those folks that we're advertising for with 740 credit scores and 20% down. And you can buy a lot, maybe a nicer home than you thought you'd be able to buy at that point because of the equity that you gained. And there's also a magic thing that people don't realize. Everybody knows there's interest compounds, but interest compounds with home equity as well. So you buy your first house.
Yeah.
And it appreciates at, let's say, 2%.
Yep.
Well, now it's appreciating the next year at 2% based off
the higher rate.
The higher value. The higher number. So the earlier you can buy a home, the quicker you'll earn that equity in the property.
No, I hear you. So I know we're running out of time here for this. I've got two more topics I want to touch real briefly, and then we'll take a few questions that we have.
Okay.
So loans in general, whether it's your first time or outside of that, there's a few different types of loans. And in your quickest elevator pitch for those types, be it VA, FHA, conventional, what are they? How do they differ?
Okay, so we'll start with VA. Okay. I'm looking at your list here. We have a VA loan. That's for our veterans, people that have served in the military or formerly served in the military. And this is a great loan. It's 100% financing. And not only is it 100% financing, there's no monthly mortgage insurance.
Yeah.
So your payment doesn't include what people typically consider kind of that pesky, anytime you have less than 20% down mortgage insurance payments, they're exempt from that. So great loan. There is a VA funding fee unless you have disability.
And that disability is having a disability rating with the VA itself. So once you get a rating with them, any rating, you automatically qualify to eliminate that funding fee.
Correct. Yeah. So that would get rid of the funding fee. So VA, again, like I said, great. Typically, the rates are going to be more competitive than conventional loans. Okay. But going to conventional, kind of comparing those as well, if you have a conventional person that's looking to buy a conventional loan versus VA, there could be a point where a VA would make more sense versus conventional, and conventional may make more sense as well, depending on your down payment because of that VA funding fee. Now, if you're exempt from the VA funding fee, it almost always makes sense to go VA. Yeah, there's going to be rarely an opportunity. FHA is another one. It's for anyone, but typically our first-time home buyers use the FHA loan. It's 3.5% down. The rates are going to be competitive. There is a loan that I like to talk about called USDA. It's not for first-time home buyers either, but it kind of gets compared with FHA, and it actually gets forgotten a lot. But this loan is for the surrounding areas in Wichita. So Mays, Goddard, Valley Center qualifies for it, Mulvane. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, if you're looking for a home and you've been pre-qualified for FHA and you can qualify for USDA, then you're actually getting an inferior loan product.
Okay.
The reason being is USDA is 100% financing. The rates are going to be competitive with FHA, and the mortgage insurance, again, that monthly mortgage insurance is about half of what the VA, it's a little over half less than what FHA's mortgage insurance is.
Well, in FHA, you have mortgage insurance for life. And
the USDA works the same way.
Right.
As well. Yeah.
But with VA and conventional, once you hit that 80% equity position in your property, you can actually request to have it removed.
Correct. Yeah.
And then the final thing here, and this is something that I'm getting more and more intrigued about, if you will. People aren't moving away when they get older, especially in our area. We used to always, that parents got older, they sold their place here, they moved to Arizona, they moved to Florida, they moved to this and that.
Right.
But just like my folks here, they're moving back to Wichita. And having somebody be able to own a home and not have payments, or what I've actually found even more now is I'm finding more and more seniors that feel their only option with their house is to sell it and rent because they can't afford a house payment per se.
Right.
And so they figured that they take the equity out of their house, they'll just pay for the rental that way. Or they don't have jobs and therefore can't refinance their house. and but they've got to do updates to it, either to make it handicapped accessible or fix the AC that's now old, the roof that's now old. But there's this reverse mortgage, which is different than what it used to be, and it provides huge opportunity. So in a few seconds or less, tell me about it, and then we'll have to do a follow-up thing talking about reverse mortgages because I think it's important.
So you're right. There's a lot of folks out there 62 years or older that don't know they can qualify for a loan. I always say in the United States, when we retire, we lose, typically most people lose a little bit of income. Mm-hmm. Then the next time we lose income is with the death of a spouse. So a lot of people feel trapped in the home that they're in right now.
Yes.
There's a loan out there, like you mentioned, called the reverse mortgage that you don't have a monthly principal and interest payment. You do have to pay your taxes, insurance, and a homeowner association dues if you have that.
Yeah.
But you don't have to make those payments. So more people can qualify for it. It's a lot easier to qualify for than for conventional homes. And it can help people get out of homes that aren't suitable for them anymore.
Right.
To buy a home that's going to be more suitable for them.
And the down payment on those is considerably more than a traditional loan. And it varies based upon age.
That's correct. Right? Yes.
And that we will have a long conversation about this here later on, because I think there's some really, really neat real world experiences that we can share. Sure. I do want to take this time, since we're at the tail end of this show, to see if Jack's got any questions from anybody that we can answer.
Yes, I do. It's actually for me myself. But you guys talked a little bit about millennials, and I have a question coming from a millennial. If I were to look at, you know, buying a house in, say, a year, and my credit score isn't quite where I'd want it to be, what would you guys say are some good little quick things I could work on in the next year to build that credit score so that I'd be ready in a year?
I want to make the first comment. As your realtor, I would be telling you first thing you do is talk to Mike. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, there's quite a few things that you can do. If it's because of, and most millennials, they're going to run into a situation where maybe they have lack of credit. I remember myself, yeah. And luckily I was in the banking industry, and the person at that time was my supervisor told me to do was go out and get a secured credit card. And one of the most important things that she said was make sure it's a secured credit card. I thought, well, why a secured credit card? The reason you get a secured credit card, especially if you have lack of credit history, or maybe you have just a little bit of negative history that's going to really hurt your credit score when you don't have much, is you'll get approved for it. And what a secured credit card is you give the bank money. Mm-hmm. So you give them $500, mm-hmm. $1,000, $300, whatever that amount may be. Mm-hmm. And they hold that. They freeze it. They put it in some sort of interest-bearing account. And at that point, they give you a credit card with that same amount of money on it. So you use it just like any other credit card, but if you default on it, the bank's holding your money, so they know that they're safe. The other important thing about that advice is to make sure that they report to all three bureaus.
Right.
A lot of times I've heard people say, well, you know, somebody told me I need to go out and get a credit card, which was good advice. Keep the balance low, keep it under 30%. You buy a tank of gas on it, pay it off, whatever the advice may be. But what we see is people go out there and they apply for 30 different credit cards, get denied for every single one of them.
Right.
And then when they finally do get a credit card, it doesn't report to all three credit bureaus.
Right.
So our advice is to get a secured credit card. And then before you take that secured credit card, make sure you're asking the person that you're applying with, do you report to all three credit bureaus? So if it's a lack of trade line depth, that would be my first step, would be to start that process.
Okay.
Great. Well, that answers my question. Thank you.
Hey, Mike, I really do appreciate you taking the time to come here and have this conversation. Want to thank you for your friendship. Want to thank you for helping sponsor this event and some of the other things that we do. And again, if you're watching or listening and you're thinking about anything related to where you're going to need to get a home loan, you need to give Mike Gonzalez a call. And what's your number and what's your website, Mike?
So the number is 316-262-7766. And I think it's right here. and the website is mysmarterfinancing.com.
mysmarterfinancing.com.
That's correct.
I like that. Well, guys, thank you. And until our next episode, I look forward to talking to you soon. Take care.
Thank you.